Good evening once again, and welcome to the On the Air Radio Players production of It's a Mystery. We're thrilled to have you with us, and we hope you'll be thrilled by tonight's program, featuring three thrilling and chilling tales of suspense, mystery, and the paranormal. Two of our stories come right from you, our listeners, and are the winners of our script writing contest. And another story comes to us from the golden age of radio, updated and repurposed for a more enlightened audience. We all also have a few classic radio commercials to break up some of the tension of tonight's more enthralling tales. And now, without further ado, here's tonight's first tale, The Wind.
Hey, Bill. How you holding up?
Holding my own, Cal. How about you?
Hanging in there, considering.
Considering what?
You know, the news. It's hard to believe. I gotta get going, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Happy Tuesday morning. What's eating Cal?
I don't know. Something about the news.
Morning, Bill. Can I get $20 on pump 3 and this sticky bun, please?
Sure thing. You want any coffee?
Nah, thanks, though.
That's $22.79 out of $23, and your change is 21 cents. Thanks, and have a great day, Myrtle.
You too, Bill. See you tomorrow morning. Sad news, though.
Bye, Myrtle. She's looking really good, especially after that scare she had with her gallbladder surgery. I'm glad she's okay. Her kids need her.
Yeah. Odd, though. She looked right past you.
Just preoccupied, I guess.
Yeah, what was she talking about? Cal, too. Bad news? Sad news? I haven't watched the news lately and haven't heard any sad news today, Joe. Have you?
Nope. No idea what they're talking about.
That's just plain weird.
Well, I did walk through the cemetery yesterday, and there was a grave being dug and some folks sitting around on the stones there, all looking kind of sad.
Now, why do you go walking through the cemetery? I try to avoid that place like the plague.
Well, I was running late for work, and so I took a shortcut through the Bellevue Acres. I do that sometimes. It's usually a quiet walk and kind of pretty. Anyway, I was walking through there yesterday, and I saw this grave being dug, and those folks sitting around and talking and looking sad. And this woman looks over at me and says,
"Hey, Joe, how are you doing today?"
"Just great, and you?"
"Oh, fair to middling. I could be better."
"Who was it?"
"Well, it's odd, but I didn't know the woman. Or at least I just couldn't place her face."
"Then how'd she know your name?"
"Small town. Someone told her. She calls everybody Joe. How the heck do I know how she knew my name?" "She did, and that's a fact. Mind if I continue with my story?"
"Well, don't get all huffy about it. I was just asking. Want a sticky bun or some coffee to wet your whistle?"
"Hey, Bill, how's it going?"
"Pretty good. Joe was just..."
"Yeah, I know. Wow, shocker. Listen, I need $15 on pump number 2. Here you go. See you Thursday."
"Thursday? What on earth? I have no idea what Thursday is. And why did he act like he didn't even see you, Joe?"
"He was in a hurry."
"Yeah, I guess. So go on."
"Well, so anyway, the next odd thing that happened was this woman said to me,
'Joe, you ever wonder when your time will come?'"
"Nope, I just try to live my life, so if the call comes, I'll be ready."
"Well, make sure that part of being ready is that you tell your family and friends that you love them every single day. Never take the chance that your last words are angry ones."
And then she started crying. And this man sitting on the stone across from her says,
"Oh, Nettie, he knows you love him."
"Yeah, but it would have been nice to actually hear it, to not have left angry."
I guess it was her husband being laid to rest. Anyway, I kept on walking, and then the wind kicked up, and when I turned to look back, they were all gone. Just vanished. Then the wind died down and it got real quiet.
"Probably just moved to get out of the wind. It's a cold wind today, too. You can hear it every time the door opens. I never go to Bellevue Acres unless I have to. Not since we were kids. Actually, not since my granddad died."
"Yep, that place spooked you when we were kids, too. How come?"
I swear I can hear people whispering and talking all around, but when I turn to look, there's no one there. It's worse at the cemetery. Remember that Halloween we went there on a dare from the older kids?
Oh, yeah. We were what, 8 or 9? Yeah, that was a scary night. We were supposed to sit on Old Man Johnson's grave until midnight, and the older kids were going to come by and make sure we were there. If we were, then we could join their club. As I remember it, we left pretty fast because you got spooked really bad. Don't remember what it was that spooked us so bad. The graveyard, Old Man Johnson, or the stories everyone told about him. He was crazy.
Remember that story about him killing his wife, boiling her into a stew, and then burying her bones in the backyard? My daddy made me mow Old Man Johnson's grass every week, and that old man would sit on his porch chewing on some jerky. And then when I was done, he'd always invite me in for some wife stew.
So, you ever go in?
No. So in the graveyard that night, I swear I heard Old Man Johnson telling me to show some respect, get off his grave, or to come inside and have me some stew. And then he laughed. Then a wind blew up, and it sounded to me like a party was going on, with people talking and chattering at each other. Then it was gone, but I wasn't about to stick around. I got myself out of there as fast as my little legs could run.
Dragging me along by my coat sleeve, as I remember.
Yeah.
You were always looking out for me. Best friend I could ever have. Hope you know how much I appreciate it.
You're getting soft in our old age. Who else would put up with me, Joe? You're my best buddy and always will be.
Yep, always. So is that Halloween scare the only reason you won't walk through the cemetery?
No. The last time I went to the cemetery alone was to visit my granddad's grave. I was just about 13. And it happened again, only it was my granddad telling me I was a good boy and that he was sorry he never told me how much I meant to him. I swear it was like he was standing right there talking to me. I love my granddad and all, but that was too much for me. I left, and I won't go back unless I have to.
That would spook me, too. Yeah, it would. Listen, get yourself some coffee, and I'll finish my tale and get going. Got a long way to go today, so I'll have to fly like the wind.
You don't want some?
Not right now, thanks.
Suit yourself.
Well, so anyway, after that weirdness in the graveyard, I thought about it all day, and when I got home last night, I walked right up to Lauren and told her that I loved her and that I hoped she knew that I loved her every day of our time together. 47 years since the day we met, and she lit up like a Christmas tree. I swear I never knew how much it meant just to say those words out loud. You should try it with Janet. How long since you told her?
She knows.
Still, it couldn't hurt.
I'm not a great talker, but she knows I love her. Heh, she gets all my money.
All right, well, I gotta fly. Whoa, listen to that wind.
Ever hear that Tibetan myth that the wind carries the souls of the dead? And that if you listen, you can hear them whispering and telling their stories until the wind carries them all the way to heaven?
Yeah, you read that story a long time ago. And we used to talk about how spooky that would be if it were true. Heck, one time while we were talking about it, we planned our own funerals, remember?
Oh, yeah. As I recall, I wanted an Irish Viking funeral with a lot of drinking and tall tales being told. And you wanted a, disco funeral, right?
Yeah, that's it. Donna Summer, the Bee Gees, lots of dancing and
staying alive. Whoa, 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 staying alive. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's going on in here? A party?
A disco party. Woohoo! Just remembering when Joe and I planned out our funerals. And he wanted a disco-themed funeral with a disco glitter ball.
And black velvet stretch pants, big hair.
Yeah, that's right. Black velvet stretch pants, gold chains.
Wow, I never would have guessed. But that sure would be right for Joe. Huh. So, I just need $20 on pump 4. Here you go. Bye now. See you Thursday.
What is Thursday?
Probably something you forgot.
More likely something Janet forgot to tell me she volunteered me for.
Oh, well, you'll know soon enough. Listen, that talk about our funeral plans made me remember something. I keep those plans in the bottom left drawer of my desk at home, along with my will, in a brown envelope marked dead. I thought it was funny at the time. See to it that you remember it, okay?
What? You don't want a disco funeral. Not really.
Why not? I always wanted a happy funeral, so you see to it. A happy party funeral. Lots of people remembering the fun, the love, the happiness they all gave me when I was alive. You see to it, okay?
Okay, okay. Hopefully not for many more years, but okay. And I want a cowboy funeral now.
Right. Horses and guns. You got it.
That's right. Do you think it's true?
What?
That story about the wind.
Nah, just some silly myth.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, gotta fly. See you Thursday.
Thursday? You ain't stopping by tomorrow?
Can't.
Why not?
Morning, Bill. Just came by to pick up my morning cup of coffee. How are you doing?
Just fine. Joe was just...
Yeah, that's really sad news about Joe, isn't it? Lauren's just lost.
What do you mean?
Oh, you haven't heard? Janet's over the house with Lauren now. She's probably trying to call you.
About what? What's happened?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry because I know Joe's your best friend, but, well, Joe died sometime last night.
You're kidding me, right? He was just...
Lauren got up, started breakfast, and then went to wake him, and he was stone cold. She's just shattered. You know, last night they started playing a trip to Ontario where they honeymooned. Lauren says that almost the last thing Joe said to her was, I love you. At least she has that. My Robert never tells me that anymore. Funny how we take our loves for granted after a while. The funeral's on Thursday. I gotta go, but I'll see you later.
Thursday?
I'm really sorry, Bill.
Joe? Joe? That's not funny. Joe? Oh, God, no. Janet? Are you okay? How's Lauren?
Bill? Joe's gone. Just gone. Lauren's as well as can be expected when your husband dies like this. So sudden. Doctor thinks it was a heart attack. Fast and sudden in his sleep.
I can't believe it. I was just talking to him, and he didn't say anything about it.
What do you mean? I was trying to call you, but you didn't pick up, and I'm with Lauren, and we don't know what to do next.
Joe told me what to do. Don't worry.
Joe told you what to do.
I'll explain later. Or maybe I won't. I'm going to close up and head over to be with you and Lauren right now. It'll be okay. Joe just told me where he put his will and all that stuff. So I'll come right over and we'll make sure that Lauren's okay and that Joe's sent off in style. Just the way he wants.
Are you okay? You sound strange. Spooky.
I'm fine. I'm good. Just shocked. Are you all right?
Yeah. Just get here.
I'll see you shortly. And Janet, I love you.
You're listening to the OTARP Radio Network. You've just heard The Wind by Lynn Smith and Holly Johnson, our second place winner in OTARP scriptwriting contest. Now, before we hear our grand prize winner, we'd now like to present a murder mystery originally presented on the First Nighter program during radio's golden age. The mystery of Travis Oldham has been updated for today's audience. Please enjoy The Mystery of Travis Oldham.
Why, Dale, hello.
Stephanie, please forgive me for bothering you, but I...
That's all right. What's up?
I'm quitting.
Quitting? But you just started. I thought you were all set to be a newspaper man.
I was, but I'm not quitting on your account. Stephanie, I know you only got me this job to help me, but I realize what a problem I've been to you.
I haven't complained much, that is.
You've been wonderful, but it isn't fair to you, Stephanie, so I'm going away.
Has anything happened?
No. I'm just going away. Far away, where you'll never have to bother about me anymore.
Excuse me. Hello?
That you, Manning?
Yes, Chief. What is it?
I'll be going now, Stephanie. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Yes, Chief.
Did you by any chance see our morning edition? The Travis Oldham murder?
Sure. Got an exclusive, didn't we?
Right. Very exclusive. Your protege got the story. Even the police knew about it.
Dale, that's fine.
But there was one tiny flaw. When the police got there, guess who was at the door?
Who?
Travis Oldham himself!
Alive?
Much more alive than Dale Evans will be if I ever find him again. I'd fire you too. But I want to make you suffer first.
But Chief, listen.
Well, goodbye, Stephanie.
So you weren't quitting on my account, were you?
I'm sorry, Steph. I am. I don't know how this happened. Goodbye.
You've said goodbye enough. Sit down. Listen, Dale. Your mom, Rosie Evans, was the greatest reporter I ever knew. Her very name meant news, social change. Her one dream was to have that name carried on. And by heaven, it will be. Your mistake was being born a man, but I'll forget that. I'll make a hard-nosed journalist out of you or die trying. Now, what happened?
Well, the chief sent me out to interview Travis Oldham.
What do you know about Oldham?
He's a wealthy old eccentric. Lives alone in a big house out by the beach. Has a hobby for yachting. His brother died several years ago in a yachting accident. Since then, Travis has been a recluse. So I drove out to the house and a servant came to the door. A big brute named Rico. He said nobody was at home and slammed the door on me.
So then?
So then I went around and looked in the library window. I saw Travis Oldham sitting in a chair with a knife in his heart.
Are you sure?
Well, yes, I think I'm sure.
What did you do?
I got scared. Even if I am a newspaper man, I'm only human.
For the love of... Back to the story.
I drove down into town for the police, but there was only time to catch the morning edition, so I phoned the story to the paper first. I went back in the squad car.
And what did the cops find?
And Travis Oldham alive and well. Steph, I swear he was dead when I saw him.
Come on.
Oh, where are you going?
To see what's keeping Travis Oldham alive.
Hey, what do you want?
We're from the Examiner. We want to see Mr. Oldham.
Mr. Oldham isn't at home.
We'll wait if you don't mind.
You can't come in.
Just a minute.
Get your foot out of the door, you.
What is it, Rico?
Mr. Oldham, I'm Stephanie Manning from the Examiner. This is Dale Evans. Our paper wants to make a correction on that story this morning.
I've already talked with your editor. Go away. Close the door, Rico.
But Mr. Oldham...
Rico, close the door.
Wouldn't call him friendly, would you?
No. But you wouldn't call him a corpse either. Did you notice anything strange about him?
Besides that he was dead the last time I saw him?
Yes, besides that.
Well, he's certainly not very neat. His collar was awfully dirty and that brown skin.
That tan comes from yachting, I suppose.
It's Rico that scares me. He looks like a gorilla. Why do you suppose Oldham hires a servant like that?
We'll come back later tonight and find out. Here you go.
Thanks for the boost, Steph. Steph, I'm scared.
Shh. Go on. Quiet. Now hold the window till I get in. Okay. Hear anything?
No. It's terribly dark, isn't it?
I've got my flashlight. Now, where's the chair Oldham was sitting in?
Right there by the desk. What if they hear us?
Here's a letter knife. Is this the one you saw? It could do the job all right.
It must be, but I'm not sure. Is there blood on it?
Would they be likely to leave a bloody knife just lying around?
Steph, I know I saw Travis Oldham right there. Dead.
If the man who met us at the door this afternoon was dead in that chair last night, kid, you do have a story.
You can see I wasn't 12 feet from him. Wait.
What's the matter?
It isn't... This chair? They've changed chairs.
Is the chair you saw anywhere in the room?
Flash the light around. It's not that one. Nor that. No, it isn't here, Steph. What do you think?
If you wanted to get rid of a chair, where would you take it?
If the reason were what I think it is. The basement.
It's worth a look. Let's go.
Do you think we ought to go down there? We'd be trapped like...
Are you a newspaper man? Well, are you?
Yes.
We'll leave the stair door open a little. Watch the steps.
It looks like a dungeon. Staff, do newspaper men, are they ever found, you know?
Sometimes, when they talk too much. Now quiet.
Oh.
There must be several rooms down here. See all these doors?
Uh-huh. We better, Stephanie, there's a chair.
Where? Oh, yes. You're sure this is it?
I'm sure. See, it has the same carvings as the desk, and feel the back. It's all wet, and look, it's blood, Steph.
Then there was somebody murdered in this chair.
What was that?
Shh! That was the cellar door. We're locked in.
We'll continue with Act Two of The Mystery of Travis Oldham in just a moment here on the OTARP Radio Network. But first, a message from a sponsor that may or may not exist.
Off the dreamland, off you go. Nighty-night with night all. Nighty-night, nighty-night, nighty-night.
Sleep tight.
Are you having trouble sleeping? Do you have more rings under your eyes than on your fingers? Wish you could wake up refreshed after a sound, dreamless sleep, free of all those night terrors and shadowy dreams that plague the overstimulated mind? Well, my friend, your nightmare is over. Scott's Pharmaceuticals introduces Dr. Zamnambula's Nightall, the nighttime sleeping aid that has the might to help you sleep tight. Yes, Dr. Zamnambula's Nightall has 6 patented ingredients to guarantee a sound, dreamless sleep as soon as your head hits the pillow. Just one little yellow pill, and it'll be lights out as soon as the lights are out. Say goodbye to that sallow complexion, those hollow rings. People will notice right away the roses in your cheeks, the glow in your eyes. You'll be up and at 'em each morning, fresh as a daisy, and free from the troublesome dreams of the night before. Dr. Zamnambula has searched the farthest corners of the world to discover just the right formula that will wipe out all memories of the entire night. Nightall is just that good. So the next time you wake up sweaty and terrified from the nightmares of your own creation, run, don't walk, to your nearest pharmacy and ask your druggist for the pill that 2 out of 3 psychiatrists recommend for their patients. Dr. Zamnambula's Nightall, the mighty might that makes you go nighty-night. Sleep tight.
Off to dreamland, off you go. Nighty-night with Nightall. Nighty-night, nighty-night, nighty-night.
Sleep tight.
We now return you to The Mystery of Travis Oldham.
Did you see anybody yet?
No. Probably Rico just saw the door was open and closed it. Are you all right?
Sure, I feel fine. I'm fibbing. I'm scared to death.
Let's try this door.
Oh, Steph, I'm sorry. I'm such a sissy.
Don't be silly. I'm scared, too.
You are?
Quiet.
I'm sorry. A bloody basement, a guy like Rico in the house.
If you get hysterical, I'll slug you.
Yes, do that.
There's nothing in here.
There's an old trunk. We gotta hide in that and call the express company.
Yeah. Oh, good, it's unlocked. Just full of old junk. Here, what's this?
Old photograph album.
Here, hold the light.
Look at that one.
Twins. They're cute, aren't they? No names, no date. Here's a later picture. There. Do you recognize that man?
It's Travis Oldham. 2 of him. He had a twin brother who was killed in a yachting accident years ago.
Was his body ever found?
I don't know. No, there was an explosion. He was washed overboard. Steph, you don't think this is like one of those stories? The sailor lost on a desert island who comes back?
I doubt it. Hold on to that last picture. Let's try the next room.
Maybe that's why Travis Oldham goes yachting so much. Maybe he's looking for his brother and found a man
to... Brought him home to kill him in the library? That doesn't make good sense. Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Look over there.
A jail? At least it looks like a jail.
Exactly. This is beginning to make sense.
To whom?
Look at that bed and the food. This cell's been used recently.
You mean the brother's been kept down here? All these years, but that's horrible.
We've got to get away. Make for the stairs, Dale. There's no other way out.
No, there's no other way. And Rico is waiting at the top of the steps.
Oh.
Easy, Dale.
There. Now we can see each other better. So, you've discovered my secret.
A secret? What secret?
We mustn't underrate each other's intelligence, Evans.
So your brother didn't die in that yachting accident?
No, Peter didn't die then. It was a horrible, ghastly incident. But Peter didn't die. He merely lost his mind.
And you've kept him locked up down here all this time?
You don't think I'd let the world know one of the Oldham brothers was crazy, do you?
I see. So it was Peter who died upstairs?
Yes.
But how did he get out of this cage?
Oh, he wasn't violent. Most days he was as rational as you or me. He was upstairs last night, but when Mr. Evans knocked at the door and my back was turned, his mind snapped again. I turned round just in time. I got the paper knife from him and killed him. That's all.
But that's self-defense. A clear cause. Your brother was out of his mind when he attacked you. No jury would convict you.
No jury will convict me. I'm sure of that. Rico!
You can win your case hands down. Self-defense.
Peter was weaker than I, and white as an eggshell. 5 years in a cell changes a man. Rico!
Staff, do you think he'll let us go?
I don't know.
Rico, see what I found in the basement.
What shall I do with them?
I hardly know. What should I do with you, Ms. Manning?
Your only hope is to let us tell the simple truth. Then you'll go free.
Free? Free? But you don't know the whole truth, Ms. Manning. The truth is in that cell. Peter had planned for a long time to kill me. He had written down his plans, how to kill me and dispose of my body. I found them on the table. See, in his diary. It would prove self-defense, wouldn't it?
Unquestionably, if everything
Look
in the
for
diary...
yourself. Go in and read it.
All right. Come on, Stephanie.
Dale, wait.
Now, Rico, now, close that door.
Get it! Go on!
Dale, don't let him lock the door.
Hold him, let us go. You'll never get away with this.
Did you think I'd tell you what happened and then let you get away? You'd like to write my story, wouldn't you? Mine and Peter's? But you'll never tell it now, Manning. You won't take my freedom from me now.
Dale, the man you saw murdered, was his face white or tanned?
It was brown. Steph, that collar. Look, that isn't dirt. It's only dark face powder. That isn't Travis Oldham. That's his crazy brother.
Yes, the crazy brother. There's your story, Ms. Manning, Mr. Evans, but you'll never write it.
We'll return for the conclusion in just a moment. Tonight's program is presented by the nationwide distributors of Natural Bridge Art Shoes for the smart, feminine foot. These shoes are modern, fashionable, and retain the natural loveliness of dainty feet, naturally. Dealers of Natural Bridge Art Shoes can fit almost any foot, smartly, comfortably, and at very moderate expense. Their slogan is good to the foot, good to the eye, good to the pocketbook. And now the conclusion of The Mystery of Travis Oldham on the OTERP Radio Network.
So how long do you think he'll keep us locked up down here?
Oh, not long. He'll have to do something with us pretty soon.
Something? You mean?
Ugh, this is the most gruesome manuscript I've ever read. Peter Oldham amused himself day after day thinking up new ways to get rid of Brother Travis.
He's horrible!
Not much worse than Travis, though, if the things in this diary are true. And he was sane. I've been trying to find his plan for disposing of the evidence. Ah, here it is. Simple, too. Put the corpse in the attic and burn down the house.
Burn down the house? Stephanie, maybe he doesn't mean to let us out?
Easy, Dale. Don't let it throw you. Here he comes. Let me do the talking.
My friends, I apologize for my outburst a while ago. It was foolish of me.
That's all right.
It was just unfortunate that you came here tonight. I'm not so bad as you think.
Then you've decided to let us go?
Oh, I'd like to, Mr. Evans, but I can't.
Oh, what do you mean?
I'd be signing my own death warrant if I let you out, knowing what you do.
But we won't tell on you.
If you were in my position, would you trust such a promise?
I'm afraid you've no choice, Oldham. You see, when we go on an assignment, our editor knows where we've gone. If we aren't in soon with our story, he'll investigate.
But, Steph, we didn't say...
But he knows you're here.
He suspected something was wrong with this house. That's why we came.
I see. What were you going to say, Evans? Does your editor know you're here?
Sure. Of course, certainly.
Of course. I don't want to harm you, but what assurance have I that you'll not tell the police?
You'll have to take that chance. The police will be here anyway if we don't report in soon.
Report in? Let me think. Rico! Rico!
Steph, do you think he believes that about the editor?
He believes it all right, in spite of your performance.
But Willie...
It's hard to tell how a mind like that works.
Look, Rico's brought him a phone.
I've decided to accept your offer, Miss Manning. But first, I want to make sure you won't double-cross me.
No? How?
I want you to call your editor. Tell him you left this house some time ago and that everything was all right.
And if I do, how do I know you'll let us go?
You'll just have to take that chance, Miss Manning.
Go ahead, Steph. Do it.
All right. Hand the phone to the bars, Oldham.
On second thought, we'll let Mr. Evans make the call. Here, Evans, the cord will just reach. Dial your number.
But what shall I say?
Oh, I'll leave that up to you. Just remember, however, that Rico has a gun, and it's pointed at your friend. If I don't like your conversation, he'll shoot. Ready, Rico?
Ready.
Go on, Dale.
Operator, Federal 3131. Examiner, give me the city desk. Hello, Chief. This is Dale Evans. Yes, I know. But Stephanie, I called on Mr. Oldham again just to check.
Everything was all right.
Everything was all right here.
You're calling from a drugstore.
I'm calling from a drugstore, yes. He wants to know why in the thunder I've called.
Tell him it's routine. Tell him to give it to Archie or Miss Williams. They'll handle it.
And hurry.
Just routine, Chief. Steph says to give it to Archie or Miss Williams, will you please?
Hang up. Hang up.
All right, Chief. Goodbye.
Well done, Evans. Now hand me the phone.
And you'll let us out now?
Oh, I'll take care of things now. You won't stay here long.
But, Mr. Oldham, you promised.
Skip it, Dale. What did the chief say?
He was still pretty mad. Oh, Steph, if you could have told him.
Did he sound as if he suspected things were wrong? What did he say?
Nothing. He just hung up. Stephanie, what's going to happen now?
We're just going to have to wait and see.
I can't stand this much longer, Steph.
I should have left you at the office.
I'm glad you didn't. It would have been much worse waiting, not knowing where you are, I mean.
Oh, what a newspaper man. Come here.
I'm sorry. I'm like I am.
I'm not. But you shouldn't be in this business. You should be at home, taking care of the kids.
Taking care of?
Dale, would you mind marrying me?
Oh, darling, darling, I'd love to, if we ever get out of here.
We'll get out. There are little fairies who protect reporters and their husbands. You're so sweet. Shall we name the first one Rusty?
Rusty Evans Manning. I mean, Rusty Manning Evans. Oh, darling, Steph. There at the door, smoke. Stephanie, the house is on fire.
Oldham! Oldham!
You brought this on yourselves, my friends.
Oldham, you'll never be free this way.
What's that?
Peter! Peter, it's the police!
Police? Quick, Rico, this way!
Grab him, Dale.
Got him.
Let me go. Let me go!
Miss Manning, Mr. Evans, where are you?
In here, officer. Here's your man. Arrest him for murder.
The murder of who?
His brother, Travis Oldham. You'll find the body in the attic. Get the keys from Oldham and unlock this cell door.
Clancy, get up to the attic. Williams, let those two out of there. Work fast, man.
Well, darling, the little fairies did it again. We'll be out of here in a jiffy.
Oh, Stephanie, what a story.
Spoken like a true newspaper man.
No, I mean, what a story to tell little Rusty when he comes. So there you have it, Rusty. That's how your mother and I came to be rescued. I called the police myself and didn't know it.
Silly, telling all that to a year-old baby. Here, let me tell it. Remember when Daddy told the chief it was a routine story? And to give it to Archie and Miss Williams? Sure you do. Well, Archie was the police reporter, and Miss Williams ran the Help Wanted section. Chief put two and two together. Police, Help Wanted, and called out the riot squad.
And I never heard the end of it. I knew all along I wasn't smart enough to be a hard-nosed journalist, but I knew I could marry one and raise another.
You've just heard The Mystery of Travis Oldham, part of It's a Mystery, here on the OTARP radio network. Originally broadcast as part of the First Nighter series. Finally, we come to the grand prize winner of our script writing contest. Here's Phantom Pain, written by Paul Schutte, presented without commercial interruption.
Excuse me, I'm Dr. Wilma Henderson from the State Mental Institution. I'm looking for Detective O'Malley.
Oh, you're looking at him, Doc. Thanks for coming down. I hope you brought your straitjacket.
I usually don't carry one on me. Can I ask why you called me down here?
Oh, I got a real nutcase for you, Doc. Guy's off his rocker.
We really don't like to use those terms, Detective. Perhaps you'd better tell me what happened.
Oh, you need to hear it from him. I can't do it justice. His name's Tony Brinkley.
Brinkley? Tony Brinkley, the radio guy? The one who calls the ball games?
Yeah, said he works for the radio station. You know him.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, you like radio?
Oh, not of Tony Brinkley, the radio announcer. Tony Brinkley, the ball player.
He played baseball.
You never heard of the Phantom? One of the best pitchers that the Dodgers ever had. Why, Brinkley pitched no...
I think you got the wrong guy. This guy couldn't have been a pitcher.
Why not?
He's only got one arm. Come on, he's in here. All right, Mr. Brinkley, we need to go over your story one more time from the beginning.
Again? Detective, I've already told you three times. Are you expecting something different?
Dr. Henderson has been assigned to the case. She'd like to hear it firsthand.
Doctor? I've already been seen by a doctor.
Oh, not that kind of doctor. She's a shrink. I called her because you belong in a loony bin.
That's quite enough, Detective. It's an honor to meet you, Phantom. Let me... Sorry.
It's all right. I'm used to it. How about a left-hand shake, if you don't mind?
Certainly, Phantom.
And it's Tony. The Phantom died when I lost my arm.
Muldoon?
Yeah. And here he is again, after all these years.
Suppose you tell me what happened.
Look, I've been over this. I've told you everything I know. Nobody believes me. I can't blame you. Why don't you just go ahead and lock me up? Maybe I am crazy.
Okay, calm down. Just tell me the story, and then I'll let you go get some rest. Okay?
All right. I was coming home from my job at the radio station.
No. Let's go all the way back to when you first encountered Muldoon.
Oh, that. You can read any paper from those days to find that out. It was 3 years ago, and I just pitched a no-hitter against the Sox.
You? But how? What were you, a lefty?
I had both arms then, Detective.
And what an arm it was.
Anyway, I was in the locker room after the game.
Hey, Phantom, come over here.
What is it, Mr. Manager, sir? What did I do wrong this time? Sheesh, I just pitched a no-hitter, and you're still going to point out my mistakes.
Oh, cut that nonsense with Mr. Manager. This don't usually happen, so you can't spread this around. Got me?
Yeah, sure. What gives?
Wait, is it you and the missus just bought a house? Is that right?
Yeah, what of it?
So I'm thinking you could use some extra money.
Now hold on there. You better not be suggesting what I think you are. I don't throw no game for nobody.
Calm down and cool your heels. It ain't that at all, man. Ever since the Black Sox thing, you guys are always jumping to conclusions.
Well, if that isn't it, what is it?
I was just talking to the owner. I went to bat for you, telling him about your house. Anyway, he wanted me to give you this.
What? $1,000? $1,000? Are you serious?
Yeah, it floored me too, but he says that you're the best player we got, and he wants to show it to you.
Well, I'll be. This wouldn't have to do with my contract expiring at the end of the season, would it?
Well, let's just say that might have something to do with it. Anyway, don't flash that around, okay?
Don't worry. I'm taking it straight to the bank. I'm not letting this burn a hole in my pocket. Hey, thank the boss for me.
Yeah, sure.
So, that's why you were in the bank that day.
Yeah, I was on top of the world that day. I ran right over to the bank with the money. It felt so good to get that deposit receipt.
Here you are, Mr. Brinkley. That's $1,000 deposited into...
All of a sudden, these three thugs come in wearing masks and firing guns. It was like something in a movie.
Everybody stay right where you are and you won't get hurt!
Let me go! Let me go!
One of the robbers grabs this lady and starts ripping her jewelry off of her while the other guy goes up to the teller. The third guy watched the door.
Shut up, lady! Okay, George, go get the cash so we can blow this joint!
Put the money in this bag, ma'am. All of it, and don't try any tricks.
I said don't touch me!
Who are you?
He kicks the guy, and he throws her down, and he was going to shoot her. I could tell something in his eyes or his voice. I don't know. I just knew that he was going to do it. I couldn't just stand there and watch him kill her. I looked at the teller's desk, and she had a big glass paperweight. I picked it up, felt it for its weight, and then I threw it as hard as I could at the guy. It hit him right in the temple, and they said later that it killed him instantly. This other guy runs over to him.
Luther! Luther! What you do? Luther, say something! Oh, my God, Luther!
And he looked up at me.
You killed my brother, you rotten piece of dirt!
Then he just started firing at me. There was a counter to my left, and I jumped for it, just like I was sliding into home plate. I almost made it, too, but then I felt this burning in my arm. And when I got behind the counter, I saw two bloody bullet holes.
In your pitching arm?
Yeah. In less than a minute, my career was over. I thought my life was going to be over because I heard him coming towards me, but then...
Come on, George, the cops are coming! Get the money, let's go!
Not until I finish this guy off!
We ain't got time! We gotta scram now!
All right, I'm gonna get you!
They rushed me to the hospital. And the docs did what they could, but they said that there was just no way they could save the arm. I begged them not to cut it off.
I'm always telling folks, don't try to be a hero. Let the police handle it. If you had just stayed still, you'd probably be still playing ball and...
And that woman would be dead. I'd rather live without an arm than to live with that on my conscience.
And you mean to tell me you never regretted it?
Well, sure, I regretted. Not at first, though. The paper made me out to be some sort of hero.
You were.
Yeah, but that didn't last, and being a hero doesn't put food on the table. Needless to say, when my contract expired, I wasn't picked up. They didn't even give me any kind of support.
How did your wife deal with it?
Well, she was upset, for sure. But she said that she married me, not a star pitcher, and that she still had me. She said that I was all she wanted.
That's some wife you got there.
Don't I know it.
So what'd you do?
What any self-respecting has-been does, I started drinking. I was thrown out of the ball club, so I joined the Canadian club. I lost everything. All my savings, the house, and I almost lost my wife. But when she walked out the door, I knew that I had to do something. I could live without baseball. I could live without my arm, but I couldn't live without her. So I sobered up and got a job. It didn't pay as much as baseball, but we were able to make it, and she gave me a second chance.
What I can't figure out is why you started calling games on the radio. If that had been me, I wanted to stay far away from baseball. Didn't it hurt you when you looked out and saw another guy pitching where you should have been?
Sometimes it did. But it also made me feel like I was back in the game, so it didn't hurt that bad. But I'll tell you what was killing me. My arm.
Your left arm was hurting?
No, my right arm.
What do you mean? You lost your right arm.
I know, but it's the strangest thing. Even though I can see that I don't have an arm, I know I don't have an arm, sometimes I can feel it. It would itch sometimes, and that was miserable, because I couldn't scratch it. And sometimes my fingers would cramp up, and would almost make me cry out in pain. Sometimes I could even move it.
Now that's just crazy! See, Doctor, I told you, he's crazy!
I don't think he is. Not about this, anyway. I've read about it. They call it phantom limb.
Yes, that's right. Then you believe me.
Well, let's just say I'm withholding judgment. Go on.
Well, like I said, it would hurt like the devil, especially the cramps. But I found a way to trick it.
How so?
I started playing catch with my right arm.
What?
I know that this is going to sound nuts.
Oh, just like everything else you've been seeing.
But I would put a table up against a wall to my right side, see? And then I would take a baseball in my left hand. I'd close my eyes and move my right arm onto the table.
But you ain't got no right arm.
I would pretend, all right? Anyway, I propped the table up on the right side so that there was just a little slant, see? And then I would close my eyes and roll the ball from my left hand to my right hand. I could feel myself catch it with my right hand. I swear I really could. And then I would roll it back and catch it with my left hand.
Doctor, you want me to call the boys over at Bellevue now?
This way, I learned to control my hand and arm so that I could unclench it and wiggle my fingers when they started cramping up, see?
If you say so, did they ever catch the robbers?
You don't believe me.
What did I just say? I'm withholding judgment. Now, go on. I take it that they never caught the robbers.
No, they ID'd the robber that I hit with the paperweight. His name was Luther Muldoon. His brother was George Muldoon. The third guy was Roger something. I don't remember.
Did you ever worry about Muldoon?
No. I guess I should have. I didn't even remember what he said until all this happened. That's why I didn't tell the police about his threat back then.
And you never heard from him?
No. Not until day before yesterday.
Tell me about that.
I was leaving the station, about to go to the game. I was running late, and the crew went on ahead. I caught a cab.
Where to, buddy?
Shea Stadium.
You got it. Say, ain't you that guy that used to be a famous pitcher?
Yeah, I used to.
Thought so. You was in that bank robbery, wasn't you?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Seems like yesterday to me. Sorry about your arm there.
That's okay.
No, it ain't. I'm sorry that I didn't hit you square in the face.
What?
That was my brother you killed that day.
You?
What's the matter? Don't you recognize me without the mask? I've been waiting a long time for this day.
What? What are you talking about?
I heard you were working this job at the station. I got this cab. I knew one day you would hail my cab, and all I had to do was wait.
Look, I'm sorry about your brother. I didn't mean to kill him. He was going to kill that—
Shut up! You can tell that to my brother when you meet him.
Pull over. Let me out of here.
Don't worry with the door, Mr. Brinkley. I fixed the locks. You can't open them from the inside.
Help. Help! Let me out!
I said shut up!
He turned around and hit me. I instinctively raised my arm to block the blow, but it was my right arm. He knocked me out cold. When I woke up, I was in a small room. It must have been where he lived. I was tied to a chair, and I was gagged. There was a wood stove to my right. Coal was burning, not wood. The place was smoky, and the fire was the only light in the room. I tried to scream and get loose, but it was no use. And then I heard him.
Well, I see you're awake. I brought you some company. I thought you'd like to see your wife. Didn't want you to get lonely.
I was enraged. She was bound and gagged just like me. I started thrashing in the chair, and I couldn't get free. I kept falling against the stove and burning the stump where my arm used to be. He pulled out a gun.
Stop that, both of you, or I'm gonna ruin her pretty little face. That's better. You know, our parents died when we was just kids. We didn't have anybody, Luther and me, but we had each other. I had to raise him. He wasn't only my brother, but he was like my son. You get that? And you killed him, Brinkley. You and your famous pitching arm. And I had to watch my brother die in front of my eyes. You know what it's like to watch someone you love, the only person you care about in the world, die in front of your eyes? Do you, Brinkley? Well, I bet you don't, but you will now.
He pointed the gun at Julie. I looked at his eyes. He was going to do it. I knew it. He was going to kill Julie. My wife. He was going to kill my wife. I didn't know what to do. I started struggling and fell against the stove again. I looked at the open door of the stove. There was a huge hot coal sitting by the door. I didn't think. I wasn't thinking. If I had thought, I wouldn't have done it, but he was going to kill her.
Here it comes.
I just reached out with my right hand and grabbed the hot coal. I threw it at Muldoon.
Ah! But that's...
impossible? I know. I know, but I tell you, Doc, it happened. I felt my skin burn. It hurt more than anything I've ever felt, but I couldn't let her die. I heard it sear my skin and smelled burnt flesh. Look, even I'd say it was nuts if the rest didn't happen.
What happened?
The coal knocked the gun out of his hand and it went off into the wall. He turned and came at me. He was just about on me when he saw that I was still tied up. I could see the confusion in his eyes. I reached out with my free hand.
Your right hand?
And pulled him into the stove. His face was on fire. He started hitting himself, trying to put it out. He grabbed me and threw me across the floor. I thought I was done for. But then he fell to the floor. I guess he passed out. I started to hop the chair towards Julie. She had passed out, but she looked okay. I was going to try to break the chair to get free, and suddenly my chair flipped over. When I landed, I was face up, and Muldoon was standing over me with a knife. His face was like something out of a nightmare. I've never seen anything like it before, and I hope I never see anything like it again.
I don't know what kind of tricks you're pulling, and I don't care. I'm going to kill you now!
He dropped on me with the knife. I remember screaming under the gag.
What happened then?
I don't know. I swear I don't know. I must have blacked out. That's all I remember.
And you expect us to believe this load of hogwash?
I know. I know. I would find it hard to believe, too. But I know it happened. And my hand is burned.
It is not. It's
not that hand.
All right. Your right hand. The invisible one. I'm telling you, Doctor, he's nuts.
Detective, it says here in the report that you were the first one on the scene, right?
Yeah, we got a call that a gunshot had been heard and someone smelled smoke.
And what did you find?
Well, I knocked down the door and found his wife tied up and passed out in the corner of the room. And Brinkley was tied up in a chair that was knocked over on its side. Also passed out.
And Muldoon?
He was lying on his back about 3 feet away from Brinkley.
Was he alive?
Huh, alive! His face was burnt and his throat was cut from ear to ear. Then there was the knife buried in his heart.
And Brinkley was still tied up.
Well, yeah, but he was...
And if you don't believe his story, how do you account for what happened?
Well, I don't know. I can't say for sure, but what I am saying is that he's full of malarkey and that's all. Somebody must have helped him.
You said that you knocked the door down. I take it that it was locked?
No, I always break down doors for the fun of it. It had a deadbolt on it.
Locked from the inside?
Sure.
So, I guess after this somebody stabbed him, Muldoon decided to lock up after himself?
Well, I don't know. But it don't matter. I think you ought to send him over to Bellevue anyway.
Detective, wasn't it Sherlock Holmes who said, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth?
I don't know. I only read the funnies.
Mr. Brinkley, you can go home.
What? Ain't you gonna lock him up?
I most certainly am not. Come with me, Mr. Brinkley.
Oh, geez.
But he's quite sane. And I assume that he isn't being charged with anything?
No, but he...
It's more than clear what happened here.
What? It is?
Yes. And this is what I want you to put in your report, Detective. Muldoon became enraged and lunged at Mr. Brinkley here and fell into the stove. He burned himself, and then he turned and knocked Mr. Brinkley here to the ground and came after him with a knife. He obviously tripped and must have fallen on his knife.
Fell on his knife, but no, that...
I think that's probably what happened, don't you, Mr. Brinkley?
But I... Yes. Yes, I guess that must have been what happened.
But that can't be!
You can go on now, Mr. Brinkley.
Thank you, Doctor. Let me shake your hand, your left hand. I thought I was going crazy there.
You were! You are! Ouch!
What's the matter?
What's the matter? He hit me, that's what's the matter.
Don't be ridiculous. I was shaking his hand just now.
Oh, but I just felt it, and he...
Mr. Brinkley, you head home and take care of that wife of yours. And Detective O'Malley, I'd like to see you in my office tomorrow. What? I have a few tests I'd like you to take.
You've just heard Phantom Pain by Paul Schutte on the OTARP Radio Network, our grand prize-winning script. We want to thank you for joining us for a night of the strange, suspenseful, and the spooky. Tune in to our website, www.otarp.com, for announcements regarding upcoming shows, auditions, and any future scriptwriting contests. This is your announcer, Vaughn Gary, signing off.
Thanks a million for joining us tonight for It's a Mystery. Our voice and sound effects wizards have been Allison Carnero da Silva, Karen Charlotte, Bob Double, Vaughn Gary, Mary Gilligan, Corey Hull, Jack Mooney, Don Pulaski, Rochelle Pauser, Riley Reed, Jim Scott, Al Strickland, and Kay Walker Jones. Our music was provided by Logan Byam. In the sound booth, our engineer was Devin Langston. The director and script editor was Sean Hambright, and the producer was yours truly, Jessica Wright. Be sure to join us next time here at the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen when we present an evening of classic sci-fi intrigue. Find more info about that show, as well as auditions and podcasts of previous shows, on our website, www.otarp.com. Thanks so much, and keep listening.